Now we'll begin side two of World Watchers. This is broadcast number 633, January 23rd, 1984, Mae Brussel on KAZU in Pacific Grove, California. Larry Flint had courage, as I said before. He published certain things that nobody else has dared to tell. There's a lawsuit going on in Los Angeles. It's been working up for 5 years, and it was just ready to go to court in the first of the year. And I'm going to do the chronology of this case right up to William French Smith and Mr. Edwin Meese taking over. The chronology goes like this. The San Jose Mercury had a story January the 7th, 1984. San Jose Peace Center list is in the Los Angeles police files. And this article is about Jerome Ducote, who made 17 break-ins in 1976 and went to the San Jose Peace Center and took their list of membership and who gave them money. And he's a member of the Birch Society and the Young Republicans, and he turned it over to a part of the Los Angeles Police Department that went directly into the police files. And after their theft, the woman in charge of the Peace Center said that they got threatening letters from the right-wing Kansas-based group calling itself the Minutemen. This goes back in 1976, and I got a letter from the Minutemen, and I have remembered those pictures with the scope. In fact, I stopped getting milk delivery at the house because they said they would put poison in the milk, and so from then I would buy it at the market. Got a letter about poison in the milk. There were this woman at the police center said, a message said, "You are in the crosshair of my gun, you traitor." That's what we got from these kinds of people, Jerry Ducote, and his list ended up at the Los Angeles Police Department. It was supposed to go to a fireman's fund, a fire and police intelligence organization of Los Angeles, which kept tabs on leftists, which translated is the Evel Younger, Ed Davis, Daryl Gates, LAPD files. Now, that story broke January the 7th that Ducote's information was in the Los Angeles Police Department. Now, in January, it was dated February, magazines are post-dated. Actually, it came out in the stands January the 1st, was the Hustler article on the Korean Airlines and Larry McDonald with Larry Flint's name on that, which refers to Mr. Ducote, whose material was later in the police department. In this article, it says, key backers, financiers, and appointees of Ronald Reagan have always been involved with police spying and worse. And of course, you know, I helped Larry with this article. Those of you who know me know the history of this story. I wrote that the trail leading to the connection between Reagan and McDonald is long and winding. Larry McDonald to Ronald Reagan, the present president of the United States who wants to run for president again. And I went into the burglaries that took place of Jerry Ducote, whose name appeared, and how he helped Ronald Reagan when he was governor. Ducote was a former sheriff's deputy employed by Ronald Reagan's backers. And I had a quotation of Warren Hinkle, who said a few years ago, what is happening in Santa Clara County today is the germ of the biggest scandal of the next 1.5 years. Okay, the germ may stop with William French Smith on the West Coast, and I'll go into it. And I wrote about the links of John Reese of Western Goals to Jerry Ducote, and this was published in Hustler, the relationship of this spy in the Hustler magazine of dated February that was on the stands in January. It has a full page on the Los Angeles Police Department, in fact, 3 pages on Jerry Ducote, working for Ronald Reagan, working for the John Birch Society, working for Jerry Reese, John Reese, who goes to form Western Goals, and mentioning that Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, the attorney for the Los Angeles Police Department, is the law office of Attorney General William French Smith, and they're also the attorney for Ronald Reagan, his personal law office. Now, 1 month later in Rebel, January 23rd, one article was in the San Jose Mercury, another in Hustler. Then Larry Flint had Don Freed and Bill Turner write, and Don Freed wrote about Bloomingdale. He said Bloomingdale became a Reagan spy master during the first year of the governor's power in 1966. It was Bloomingdale who was involved in the campaign to smash Cesar Chavez and the Farm Workers Union. This campaign involved break-ins, burglaries, beatings, and at least one assassination plot. See, I'd been on the air since 1971, and this was in 1976, and those past broadcasts detail all of this. And Larry Shears was the guy hired to kill Eldridge Cleaver and Cesar Chavez, and I have tape recordings in my home and transcripts of the discussion with the IRS, the Internal Revenue, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and that's where John Caulfield, who worked also with Peter Bourne in the White House in those days, in the drug department, and this was really Murder Incorporated inside the White House, they were planning to kill Chavez. And Don Fried writes about working with Bloomingdale in Reagan's master plan to stifle the dissent of students out here and minorities was none other than Edwin Meese III, who turns up years later on the famous Vicky Morgan sex tapes. John Reese of Western Gold worked with Jerry Ducote. Ducote works with Alfred Bloomingdale and Ronald Reagan. And Edwin Meese was the guy hiring them and working with them to break students, break minorities, our future attorney general. Those were three articles, two published by Larry Flynn in January of this year, and one, the Ducote story, breaking from there. Now, what happens in this month that all of this broke? Okay, January the 7th was the story of the Peace Center and Jerome Ducote in the San Jose Mercury. January the 9th, 2 days later, the San Jose Mercury had an article asking for money for the American Civil Liberties Union. They were seeking donations. They said they may have to take out a second mortgage on their office. They needed $313,000. They said, in quotes, "This is ACLU's most extraordinary moment in history." Imagine going 5 years getting this trial ready, 131 plaintiffs illegally spied upon when the material was supposed to have been destroyed. And they're asking for money, and I was going to help raise some money and try to see what we could do. They said their five-year-old suit is now defunct. They need money desperately to carry on, and that they were sending out these letters. And on January the 9th, that they mentioned also, they discovered today the microfilm of the Peace Center in San Jose. That's the Jerry Ducote story. And then they went back that the pretrial cost them over $700,000. And Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, William French Smith's office, had been paid $1.3 million by the city of L.A. That was 2 days after the Ducote story broke and the Larry Flynt stories in Rebel and in Hustler were out on the stands. One was soon to come out with Edwin Meese's picture, and the other one was out with the links to Ronald Reagan of Ducote to the LAPD trial. January the 11th, 2 days later, after Ducote was revealed, the state Supreme Court was hearing a plea by the Los Angeles Police Department not to identify a certain informer that was still working for the police department. And the ACLU says, we need to know that informer. Protection should not be given to informers who spy on people who have not committed crimes. And they pointed out the difference that an informer, if you are breaking a case of a drug dealer or a murderer, you don't give out the name of the informer if you're about to arrest. But if you're informing on law-abiding citizens who never committed a crime, there's only one thing it could be, which is an agent provocateur, setting them up and then arresting them or planting evidence on them to arrest them and charge them, whether it's burglary or murder or whatever. So the Civil Liberties Union said, if we're not entitled to get the informer's identity, the whole avenue of investigation is foreclosed to us. Now, January the 11th in the L.A. Times was side-by-side with another story. There's a new effort to settle the police suit that they've been trying since December to never go to court. They've carried this since January a year ago. It's been in the newspapers down there almost every single day. Newsweek, as I mentioned before, had a one little story never mentioning Western Gold. So it's a year later. It was in May of last year that they linked to Western Gold and Larry McDonald and the Byrd Society and the Galen operation, the BND, and the Vienna offices, and the German offices. January the 11th in the Los Angeles Times, new effort to settle the police. They wanted to close it. Now, the Civil Liberties Union was going to go along with closing the case for this reason. They said they rejected the settlement last month, but they would take it if the LAPD would agree in the future to have a watchdog to watch their policies for spying. We'll take a settlement of $1.5 million now for what you did in the past if you will have a watchdog. And they emphasize that the anti-terrorist division, which is in charge of the Olympic Games and is the same police department that changed its name when the other was caught with these files going into the $100,000 computer, They wanted a watchdog on the anti-terrorist division. The ACLU wanted it settled out of court in December, but they said if it went to trial, they would do it. But they felt if they went to trial, there would be fewer restrictions that they could put on the police department. They may win the case, but case closed. If they set their terms that we want a settlement, that you will have people overseeing your counterintelligence and your terror division, we will settle it out of court. 3 days later, January the 14th, Los Angeles Herald, new optimism on the city council settlement of the suit. Mayor Tom Bradley, who is a member of the Los Angeles Police Department, has been working night and day. He doesn't want these police cases open. And what's in these files are the 8 years that Ronald Reagan was governor of California. L.A. Chief Daryl Gates, who is a former Marine, who now took over Ed Davis's job, objects strenuously to any outside oversight of his department. So the Civil Liberties Union says, we'll settle if you have a watchdog and make sure you're not doing this again on us law-abiding citizens. And Gates, the police chief, says, no, we want to settle with no strings attached. One day later, January the 15th, Los Angeles Times, police spying case is settled. And that was also in the San Jose Mercury, the case is settled. Well, you'd think it was all over. The city council agreed in principle that they would settle the case, but they were infuriated. A Joel Wachs, W-A-C-H-S, of the city council, was furious that the terms of the meeting leaked, that they decided they would make a settlement and the Civil Liberties Union would take $200,000 less, but to release the details of the meeting, they said jeopardized the city's position because they were bargaining about the city position. And what they wanted is that they wanted to clear. The city of L.A. wants the agreement. We'll pay you $1.5 million and say that the police were not guilty. Don't let a judge hear any of the evidence collected 5 years. 131 plaintiffs or individuals. Just say nobody is guilty. That's what the council wanted to say. So January the 15th in the L.A. Herald, it says city council believes this is what they want to say on spying, that, in quotes, most of the city police officers accused of illegal spying are innocent of wrongdoing. We will pay you, but the police are innocent, most of them. Well, if there's 47 defendants and two more took this material home to the garage to send to Edward Teller and Admiral Moore and Roy Cohn and Murder Incorporated, because the reason I started the program with the Murder Incorporated that is in the paper today and in the Washington Post 2 weeks ago of Jack Anderson is these pieces of information went into the computer of Murder Incorporated, of Jeremiah Denton in Georgia, Larry McDonald in Georgia, Roy Cohn of the Mafia, Admiral Moore with Kissinger and Kramer and the network of Yeoman Redford and their stealing from Richard Nixon for the Pentagon. And he became Joint Chief of Staff, and Edward Teller, the father of the H-bomb, and Mr. Steinholz, a flyer for the Luftwaffe, a Nazi on the board. They want a deal that says most were innocent, not about Western goals, not about taking it home. Nobody's to be prosecuted. Case is closure. You're not supposed to know about the garage or Mary Love, his wife, who got $30,000 to stuff their darn computer, and he's still stuffing it. Illegally keeping papers that were to be destroyed in 1975, sending them back east into Europe, in Vienna, to Helene von Damm in Vienna, and in Germany, the Galen Group. Nothing about that. Most of them, if you have two that send all the files of everybody in California or every major city of the United States to those people, you have trouble. Murder Incorporated has enough people to drop off labor leaders, professors, leftists for years to come and to blacklist them from jobs. So January the 15th, the L.A. Herald says that the city council, as part of the deal, will make a statement that most that were accused are innocent. Now, the ACLU said they'd have to ask their plaintiffs if they wanted to accept this offer, because to admit that publicly says that it believes most did not engage in crimes, and they want to go to court. They should meet them head on. And Joel Wachs again said that the leak of the settlement, of the terms of it, is so serious. This is a quote from the LA Herald. Is so serious that if this city were a private corporation, heads would roll in the morning. And the logic is that the city council felt that it would be cheaper to make a settlement. This is their logic, that it would cost between $3 and $5 million to Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. Well, why would Ronald Reagan's law office or William French Smith's office turn down an extra $2 million or $3 million from the city council? If the police are innocent, that's an easy $3 million to make, and the city would pay for it. But the logic is that we don't want LA to spend $3 million. So then there was another quotation in the article. Council would say again that in no way did any substantial violation of property by PDID officers, that the overwhelming activity were not only proper but commendable. Now that's exactly when Lee Harvey Oswald took the lie detector test in Dallas with the FBI, and he said, "Are you going to ask me if I'm a law-abiding citizen?" And they said, "Yeah," and he passed that. "Am I a God-fearing law-abiding? Am I a patriotic law-abiding?" And he adds all this stuff, and he passes it, of course. I forget the exact words, but the idea is that they said, in no way did any substantial violation, any substantial of those officers, and that the overwhelming were not only proper, but they were commendable. 47 defendants from the police department and two more that took this stuff to their private garages and papers. Now, January the 16th, the Los Angeles Herald began a probe, not of Westergaard's, not the garage, but who leaked the papers. Not the fact that the papers should have been destroyed, not the fact that they were taken home, that they go overseas, that they go to Larry McDonald, whose contacts with George Habash had the violence for the Munich Olympic Games. No, they began to go into this again, and they stated again, the city council tentatively has agreed to issue an announcement that the majority of the city's officers accused of illegal spying on activist groups or individuals are innocent of wrongdoing. The city council says, look, we've spent $1.5 million, they've spent $700,000. We will be the judge, we will be the jury, and tell you they didn't do any wrongdoing. Why can't they go to trial? That's the question. When does the city council stop the trial and then proclaim the innocence, the fact that they're paying $1.5 million? Why don't they go to court and prove the $1.5 million? Okay, so the city council gets concerned that the plaintiffs will reject their offer by the 16th. There's an article in the Herald that council's concerned now that the 131 plaintiffs will reject their offer because it might strengthen the American Civil Liberties Union's resolve to prove the officers are guilty. If they're paying them $1.5 million and they're saying nobody is guilty, if I were one of those 131 plaintiffs, I would demand that it go to court. That they're proclaiming the innocence of everybody like a total dictator. This is like Nazi Germany, the French courts, the Dutch courts, the German courts. Our police are innocent, period. And the police are let off. Why are they willing to do that? So by January the 17th, both sides are requesting a delay in the suit to think it over. The both lawyers on both sides, it was only agreed by the city council that both will agree. So then they said, they mentioned Willard Carr, the spokesman for Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, the law firm defending the case, was silent on the delay, and they both decided they'd delay. In the paper, it said, a key provision in the ACLU's earlier settlement demanding a retired judge be appointed to oversee the undercover operations was phased out of the latest version. The city council wants to close the case without an oversight of a police commission or a judge to watch the anti-terrorist PDID group, the police department group, the police intelligence. The original reason for settling, for talking about settling, is that they get agreement that they couldn't pull provocateurs and hanky-pankies. So after the city council gets an agreement that they're just about ready to sign, they pull out the condition that their people will be oversighted by anybody, that they can do what they want, and furthermore, that everyone or most of them were innocent and exemplary behavior. That's January the 17th. Now, it heats up by January the 18th. They're asking for a motion to clear the case with the police department. There's an offer of the city council to clear this case and get going, and Art Snyder of the city council announced for the record, once more repeating that the vast majority of the LAPD are innocent of wrongdoing. Now, the council approved 10-1 a motion that it's not to make it a crime that anybody at any city council meetings be prosecuted if he returns or leaks what kind of deals they're making. And Daryl Gates, the chief of police, refuses to have a commission monitor them, and he refuses to have a judge monitor them. The police commission are responsible for investigating them after they commit crimes or do burglaries or rapes or hire murderers. The police commission comes in. But the police commission is not to come in before the crime is committed. Okay, this is going back and forth from January the 18th, from the time Ducote surfaced, January the 7th. And those papers were in the file. And I told you that already there was talk in the pretrial depositions of the links of the Los Angeles police to Donald DeFries, and this would open the LAPD and the Alfred Bloomingdale story, and even it could go into the key of some of the people, into the Manson family, or even Dennis Wilson, because Sheriff Peter Pitches and LAPD were behind that whole ball of wax. So by January the 18th, they decided they would have a stalemate and wait. They hadn't decided what to do. On January the 19th, William French Smith says to Ronald Reagan, "I'm going to California." Now, he didn't tell anybody till the weekend, but by Wednesday, he was getting his shoes packed and coming to California as fast as he could. And Edwin Meese was to become the Attorney General. Now, they didn't decide that until Saturday night or Sunday. I guess it was Sunday while everyone was watching the football game and the controversy. It's not a controversy. The suspense of William French Smith leaving as Attorney General just at the time, just before the president announces that he's going to run for re-election. William French Smith says, "Oh, I have to go home and run the campaign. I've been behind him since 1966, and I have to help him now." He was behind him in 66 when Von Dahm came. He was behind him in 67 when Ducote was hired by Bloomingdale. He was behind him when the sadomasochism sex parties of politicians was going on down there. He was behind him when they planned to kill Cesar Chavez and brought in the Teamsters and is an attorney for the agriculture business to break the labor unions with the field workers in California. He was behind him with all of the People's Park. Edwin Meese was literally the guy that gave the order to shoot, to have the People's Park incident. He was behind him behind the Isla Vista with Sheriff Peter Pitches and the LAPD counterintelligence for riots in Santa Barbara and the Bank of America to make it look like the youth and the hippie did it. He was behind him with the San Quentin Six, the killing of George Jackson and the terrorism, breaking the prisons and bringing in drugs and goon squads and hit teams dressed as prisoners. Lewis Tackwood did that for the LAPD. And they were setting up provocateur things between the blacks to get him in forever or kill people like George Jackson, to arrest Angela Davis, to set up the shootout in Marin County. He was behind him for that. He's behind him with John Roselli and Sam Giancana and the assassination teams that helped off John Kennedy via the network of the CIA and the Galen organization, going back to those early hit teams that they can pull on. Now, William French Smith, on January the 19th, tells Ronnie he doesn't even wait till Thursday. He has to get post haste out to his law office because he says he has to help the president get elected. Elected to what? Here are publications that Larry Flint's had about Edwin Meese, and I hope you copy those articles about Edwin Meese out of Rebel magazine, and if it's off the stand and you can't get it, I understand there was one issue of Rebel between Rebel 3 that I never got. I'll have to get it from somebody. It never came to my home. I've gotten three copies, but there's more out, and I missed one that Don Freed told me about Vicky Morgan. If they just scratch Ronald Reagan and Edwin Meese and the appointment for him as Attorney General and go in, this is your last chance to get Ronald Reagan. Edwin Meese ran these bloodbaths, and when he ran for president, I couldn't figure why people were sitting on their butts. Copy those articles about Edwin Meese and Jerry Ducote out of the... I have reprints of The Hustler. If you didn't buy it, I'll send you a copy, and you send the cost for printing. It's like 3 or 4 pages, and the postage stamp, and then you have copies made, just like this friend did in Texas, 120 copies out. Why don't you bombard the news media and the people? Teach your Congressman Panetta what Western Gold is and Edwin Meese. Is Edwin Meese on those sex tapes? Now it's important to protect Larry Flint, really Larry Flint, because he's the only person, forget the guys that came in and literally took over that place, And what happened to him? Forget that. He's the only person who had pictures of Edwin Meese, the accessory before this came down, who has literally, I think, forced this case to be stalemated. Now, the Civil Liberties Union is not into all of the activity, but they know the Jerry Ducote connection to Ronald Reagan. They know full well where the next stage goes. They've been working on this 5 years. I certainly can't believe that one single plaintiff who was robbed and burglarized, blacklisted, and whose name went into a computer that goes to Western Gold, to Larry McDonald, I can't believe that one single plaintiff who went through all they did through the anti-war years and through all those years of turmoil could possibly accept a settlement on this case with the condition that the police department said, we're too busy. The January 19th, the day that William French Smith told Ronald Reagan he's coming over to help him get reelected, on that day, the LA Times had an article, the city council insisted the trial would cost millions with no guarantee of winning. With no guarantee of winning, which would you give them the choice? To have them declare that everybody was exemplary and wonderful, no guarantee of winning, and it would sidetrack the police department at a crucial time before the Olympic Games. A crucial time, you may get a coup. The Blue Thunder is ready to roll. You better believe it's a crucial time. Los Angeles Times, January 19th, the city council insisted the trial would have cost millions with no guarantee of winning. They certainly want it on their own terms, and are they desperate? And if those plaintiffs don't accept that bargain, with no guarantee of winning, we'll give you $1.5 million, and $700,000 or $800,000 will go to your attorney, subtract that off the top, and then 131 organizations of plaintiffs are supposed to get the crumbs. With no guarantee of winning, the police wants to sell this. And they also want no watchdog, which they agreed to do when the settlement began. Nobody to watch us. And then it said Mayor Tom Bradley favored a settlement, which I said before. And they said that they're afraid they'll distract the police at a crucial time, as I said, before the Olympic Games. This may be the only chance if they try to pull this with the Olympics with the provocateurs. Now, when I wrote, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped?, that was written in the summer of 72 because the Squad 19, the same LAPD, was planning to kill Richard Nixon, make Agnew president, and have the riots. But the convention was moved from San Diego to Miami, so it gave a little extra time and exposure of funding and necessity for them to plant documents in the Democratic headquarters so when the riots took place, the Democrats would be blamed for the violence. Now, that Squad 19 was working then with E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis and James McCord and the Pentagon, and it was put off. This is 12 years later. That team hasn't fallen apart. The only body who's fallen apart are the liberals. That team is strong. Ed Davis is a senator in California, and now the Olympic Games is coming up, and they are arming to the teeth, the Defense Department. If they dropped a bomb, you wouldn't be able to prove it was their provocateur, but any placement of agents like Richard Nixon had a church for Frank Sturgis, that tobacco, alcohol, and firearms, the IRS, gave him. All of a sudden, Frank Sturgis was a priest down in Florida with a stockpile of weapons going. So what happened, I believe, with the swiftness of William French Smith? He didn't wait till Reagan announced why he was going to be president. Post haste, there's a stalemate until the end of the month. The trial is actually beginning down there. Unless I didn't see today's LA Times, you wouldn't know it from any other paper of what's going on. The trial, for all purposes, is still unfolding, and they have to have, the ACLU can't make the agreement with the plaintiff, so they have to agree between each other if they're going to settle for that. And why would you settle for a case that exonerates all the policemen, no watch guard to watch them, and they think they may lose the case, and they're such chickens that they reneged on their original bargains or considerations, and they want to clear out because they may lose. If I was a plaintiff, I would go all the way. 131 of them can't be gunned down at one time by Edwin Meese and Ronald Reagan. And I certainly think and hope they go all the way. And if they don't, this will be the most massive cover-up of news media, never hitting a wire service, the AP, the UPI, for an entire year where the pre-trial depositions were being taken. A five-year trial that can be over because the city council says they're innocent, they're not guilty, they're exemplary. That is the Los Angeles Police Department. That's Edwin Meese and Ronald Reagan. And this is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU-FM. I'll be back with you next week. Some more on those rats. Goodbye.